Buenos días. Good morning. Selamat pagi. Chào sáng hào. Kelly Vanakam. A very warm welcome to episode 10 of Sporticus Podcast. Mis amigos, exactly 21 days for the most awaited Olympic Games that will be held in one of the most advanced cities of the world, Tokyo. Not only that, it is also the capital city of Japan. In today's episode, we have an extraordinary, hardworking, competitive, and a true leader athlete on our podcast. Mis amigos, I will be interviewing Singapore's finest rower. Not only she has won several trophies and medals, but she will be rising and shining the flag of Singapore in the upcoming Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games as our rower, Joanne Po. Joanne's path was very rocky. She had a lot of obstacles in her way, but she never ever gave up, and she battled all those obstacles with a sole objective of achieving a place in this year's Olympic Games. She is a superwoman, and we will get to know more about her in just two ticks. But before I make the call, let's learn what is rowing. Rowing, propulsion of a boat by the usage of oars. The oar is a stick with a rounded handle at one end and a shaped blade at the other. Rowing began as a means of transportation. Galleys used as war vessels and ships of state prevailed in the ancient Egypt and subsequently in the Roman Empire. Rowing as a sport developed from the 1830s to the 60s in Australia and Canada, and during the same period became popular throughout Europe and the United States. Rowing events in the Olympic Games have been held for the men since 1900s, and the women made their debut at the Games in 1976 in Montreal. Wow! This means the sport of rowing has been part of the Olympics game for over 121 years. Wow! Amazing! Shocking! And now, I'll be calling none other than the most awaited moment, Joanne Po. Let's hear more interesting facts about the sport and what we are expecting from our Singapore rower for these upcoming Olympic Games. So, good morning, Joanne. How have you been? Hope you and your family have been staying safe and keeping healthy.
Yeah, hi, Sahil. Thank you for having me.
Great to hear that. Joanne, first of all, congratulations on achieving a spot for the upcoming Olympic Games as Singapore's national rower. And second of all, thanks for granting out some time for Sporticus SG from your busy training schedule and by accepting this call due to the COVID-19 precautions that we all must take care of.
Thank you also for making time for me, for accommodating the time that
Always lovely to have our Singapore athletes on this channel. So, Joanne, quick questions to just warm up. Best thing about rowing?
I don't know, the rowing culture I've experienced here is actually quite different than those I've seen abroad. So, I think I must say, the best thing about rowing right up to now would be the community that around the sport.
Okay.
Yeah, just how people are very warm, and if you are a rower, they will definitely open up to you quite quickly and easily.
All right, nice to know that. It's a very social adapting sport, you would say.
I think people who among rowers, we identify ourselves, and there's just like a common language that you now then speak, and people are just more warm, between rowers and two rowers abroad.
I see. It looks like you guys have your own code language.
I think when you go overseas and you hit up a club, and they'll be very happy to host you and allow you to go and use their boats and go in their venues and stuff like that. So that's a culture that it's quite nice to have and very eye-opening.
Wonderful. Joanne, how do you keep your skin and hair healthy when in the sun and the sea all day?
They are not healthy. I don't know, what do you consider healthy? Like, I'm pretty tan because being out in the sun and I think my hair is just, yeah, fine.
Okay, nice. And at what age you decide to pick up, this sport? I mean, you decide to pick up a boat and just dive into the waters and decide to row?
Like, I'm quite late to the start to pick up the sport, actually. I got in touch with rowing sometime in my university when rowing was being contested at the 2015 SEA Games, Southeast Asian Games in Singapore.
Okay.
At that time, there were not many rowers, and so there was a recruitment, and I took part in it, and I just stayed on ever since 2015, so it's about 6 years now.
Wow, wonderful. So how would you describe rowing in one word?
Tough. Yeah, so, I think to say the least, it's tough because it's like trying to like perfect and execute an excellent stroke.
Uh-huh.
And like trying to practice and get that fair stroke each time you do it, and you do about 240 of them as you race down the 2000 meter course, like trying to achieve nirvana, like, you know, but never actually getting there, and always room for improvement.
Wow, good. That means tough and challenging.
Yeah, it really is, because the race distance itself is 2000 meters, like, you know, unlike most of the cyclical sport, there is different racing distance, but internationally, like, rowing is always competed at 2000 meters.
Wow.
Yep.
Very, very long.
I mean, you really can't see the end of the line when you are sitting at the start line, so I would say yes, very long.
Great. And Joanne, what are the best rowing sports in Asia?
Really, I haven't been around, like, rowing in Asia too much because, I mean, the sport kind of is more dominant, prominent as well in the Western countries. If I have to state like one in Asia, I think as of now would be the one that I will be going to in Tokyo, at Tokyo Bay, at the Sea Forest Waterway.
Wow.
The Olympic race course would be, yeah. I mean, only because rowing is actually a flat water sport,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, but at the course, there's actually like wind turbine, you know, alongside. It tells you that it could be windy. It is meant to be windy, and that can give you all like range of different kind of conditions. So I think that in itself is something to embrace.
Great. We will be looking forward to that on the TV. So for all the audience out there, remember, this is one of the best sports, and we have to cheer up for Joanne Po because she'll be representing Singapore for our team in the Olympics 2020.
Yeah, thank you, and I'll definitely try to place Singapore as high up the rank as possible. I'm doing my best.
We are here supporting you. Joanne, let's come a bit more into technicality questions. Any updates on rowing, like basically on the rules, change of materials, or any type of boat shape, any modifications that has happened?
Actually, rowing is one of the oldest Olympic sports, and over the years, as with a lot of the sports, the equipment are always getting better, lighter, you know, people are getting faster, just because of the development of the equipment, and you know, how things like, for example, the oar, they used to be wooden and heavier, like now they are carbon, lighter.
Okay.
And the boats themselves were all like, you know, progressively getting better, and there is this aerodynamic features and all that stuff. Like, so things are actually getting, speed-wise, like timing-wise, it's actually getting faster.
Okay, nice.
But then the sport is actually not too spectator-friendly because, as you mentioned, it's actually a 2,000-meter race course. Spectators are usually seated only from the last 500 or even 250 meters, so you only watch the end of the race. So the expectation was to make it more spectator friendly. You know, there are different variations of rowing now that have been injected, like coastal rowing, where it's supposed to be more exciting. You know, so you go around the race course, hitting the choppy and wavy waters, really in the sea.
Okay.
And or there's a beach sprint version where you are supposed to run to the boat, which was, you know, will be parked at the beach, and then you will hop into the boat, do a course, like not an obstacle course, but you go zigzag around Greece, like there's being placed on the water, and then you roll back and then you hop off the boat and then run, you hit a buzzer, stuff like that. So these things were meant to like be included in the 2024 like Paris Olympics, but because of COVID and so plans has been like been a bit more like postponed.
Okay.
So inclusions of such variations would be slightly delayed. But we definitely start to see a bit more of this competed at international level and probably even at the Olympics.
Great, great. Good to see that. Good to hear that.
Yeah.
And Joanne, as you know, it has been very, last year it was an unpredictable year, till now also it is quite unpredictable. Were any of your rowing plans, were they compromised?
Well, I wouldn't say it's compromised. Like, I mean, every one of us have all, like, a lot to adapt, you know, with this COVID and the pandemic and, you know, all the plans. I'm sure everyone's plan has changed or moved to, like, a different extent. Like, if our lives are changing, like, then definitely the rowing plans had to adapt as well. So previously, I was actually being coached overseas, you know, where I can get, like, face-to-face coaching and people rowing alongside me. But because of COVID, I came back home, and being a nurse myself, I went back to work.
Okay.
And had to, you know, so we explored options, you know, traveling became very restricted. We had to look into, you know, being versatile and took on remote coaching, where my coach would put in program on the Google Doc.
Okay.
We would communicate via, you know, the technology, a video call, or video reviews.
The famous Zoom, I believe.
A lot of those, and WhatsApp call does pretty well too.
Great.
And then, so, I mean, leading up until the qualification, it was, in fact, at the qualification, I was also being coached remotely. Like, my coach wasn't able to travel with to the qualifiers because, you know, she couldn't afford the 14 or 21 days quarantine. It's really a lot to adapt.
In fact, I believe you actually served your 21 days, right?
Yeah, or returning from Tokyo qualification. Yeah, I did have served 21 days. I mean, because when we leave Singapore for the qualification race, it was actually only 14 days, and then regulations was changed just as we were about to return home, and it was definitely quite a curveball.
Yes, indeed. I mean, how was your reaction when you, because from what we've heard from the media, you were told that you have been granted entry to perform in Tokyo for the Olympics this year while you were serving your SHN, right?
Yeah. That was quite an experience in itself because, you know, like being in quarantine, like we were trying to adapt and find our footings around getting a routine in place, get the training going, bring the equipment, like the indoor rowing machine, the stationary bike into the rooms, and you know, it was a lot of trying to stay grounded, not be looking for news too much, but I still can't help it. Like sometimes I'm just like searching online or I'll try to look out for news and try to get things going. So
great,
quite a lot.
seemed like you had more than a hotel room, you had a gym room.
I have a Anytime Fitness next to my bed. That's it.
great to hear that. Joanne, what are we expecting this year? A strong challenge in the Tokyo 2020 Olympic?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, going to the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, like, was actually my target, my goal. And then being able to achieve this is really an achievement itself and in itself. And I'm really very proud and honored to be able to represent Singapore at the Olympics. Like, I would consider this outing, regardless of the result, a success, because it's one step in the correct direction. Like, it is one step trying to bring up the sport, trying to keep things going. It's really, really been difficult being the only rower in Singapore who has competed like since 2017 and trying to keep things going all the way to the qualification and finally earning this ticket to the Olympics.
Indeed, Joanne. I mean, you are literally, you've been building awareness for this sport and literally, and you've achieved such a huge goal that for Singapore, you're already our winner. So no matter what no matter how the result goes, I would say from all Singaporeans, Have fun, enjoy, make the most of it, and just rise and shine our flag.
Yeah, I really love to do that. Because like, I just remember in year 2019, when I was competing at the World Championship, sitting at the start line, with the commentator reading out, you know, which competitor is in which lane. And when they got to mine, they couldn't even identify SGP. They were like, you know, who's SGP? So this is like really a big step forward in the right direction.
Good, good, good to hear that. And any challenging countries that you see?
I think, you know, rowing being like super developed in other countries where there's a structure and there's a coaching and everything that's going right for them. Every country like poses a strong challenge, and that's something that I'll be very happy to go up against because, you know, when I'm being put up like against the strong competitors and trying to give my best, I would then know how much more I need to improve and work on from there. Like that really is something I'm looking forward to.
Great, we wish you all the best, Joan. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Sahil. Thank you for having me.
Joan, we're coming now to our last two questions, the most important questions of the podcast. The most achievable experience and your worst nightmare.
Most achievable means like something that you have achieved, is that what it is?
Yes, indeed.
I think at this point it would have been able to putting together a team right now. So you know, just as you had started this podcast during Circuit Breaker, I had also managed to put together a team like of 10 girls. Right now. Really, yeah.
So wow, wonderful.
It's really quite an exciting and amazing journey, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without the support of my partner and my family and friends. Like, so I slowly, one by one, like, reached out to girls, and like, they were friends of mine, juniors of mine from university, their juniors, the sisters, and now we have about 10 girls rowing, and we are working towards the next major game being Southeast Asian Games.
Wow! This year. Fantastic!
So hopefully, some of them can become my successor. Like beyond this, so really something that's quite.
We wish you all the best. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much again.
And my last question, Joan, what is one important lesson you've learned from your time as a professional athlete?
I think it really is that it takes a village to raise one athlete or a champion. And because of the lag, like so with rowing being like not as developed here in Singapore, with not many to train with or a local coach at that time, you know, to be coaching me, and I have had to go overseas for training and competitions a lot. So whenever you go overseas and then you have to come back because of visa or financial problems and stuff like that, so your training becomes very fragmented. But then when you have a system going, when you have a coaching system, a training program all set up and in place, and you can be a lot more focused and just driving like the stroke and the training, it really takes a lot of your mind and your shoulder where you can just be really focused. I mean, at the end of the day, I just hope that, you know, with the limelight shone on to rowing to this Olympics, like, people could see that, you know, it's just so little we have come this far, and, you know, if there could just be a little bit more support, a little bit more push from everyone and every stakeholder, like, we can go a lot more and a lot further than where we are right now.
Great. Strong words there. Strong words, Joan. And you know, Sporticus SG, we are here, the podcast, to build awareness for hidden talents and athletes like yourself. And we would like all Singaporeans to support Joan and also the art of rowing. Because without you, there is no sport. Because we are the audience. Remember that, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing for responding community in Singapore.
Thank you so much, Joan. It was wonderful once again for you taking out time for Sporticus SG. We will be here literally following up with the Tokyo Olympics, supporting you side by side. Have fun, enjoy, and make us proud.
Stay safe, everyone.
Thank you so much, Joanne.
They save everyone.
A big shout out and a round of applause to Joanne Paul, because not only she is our rower, but she has been our frontliner during the most crucial times of this nation, clocking in hours during the circuit breaker as a nurse. She took several months of no pay leave from her job as a staff nurse in Tan Tock Seng Hospital in order to focus on her training that were mostly placed overseas in countries such as Hong Kong, Greece, China, Canada and Australia. And trust me, we all know these trips are highly costly. If I'm not wrong, I read on the news that she forked out personally at least $20,000 annually for just rowing. Let's start building up some awareness for Joanne Paul, our nation's daughter, and for the art of rowing. And that's a wrap, mis amigos. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast with our special guest, Joanne Paul. Please do remember to use the hashtag #WeAreTheAudience, as without you, the fan, rowing is nothing. If you have any queries related to rowing or the Olympic Games, please do not hesitate to contact sporticussg@gmail.com and we will do our very best to answer you. Do remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, sporticussg. And in the meanwhile, please stay safe and keep healthy, mis amigos.